If animals could tell us what they were thinking, what would they say? It's the question at the heart of David Wroblewski's new novel, The Story of Edgar Sawtelle. The book, which has been widely praised by critics, is this summer's sleeper hit. It's the story of a boy named Edgar who is mute, of his complicated family life, and of the relationship between Edgar and his beloved dogs, Almandine and Forte. Wroblewski himself grew up in rural Wisconsin in a family of dog trainers, so maybe it's not surprising that questions of language and perception and the relationship between dogs and humans are at the center of the book.
I had this experience of not talking for a week as a side effect of very minor, and really it sounds alarming, but it's not, very minor surgery on my tongue. I ended up with a couple of stitches in my tongue. It was just awkward and impossible to talk. So I stopped talking for a week. And I had this experience where I realized that suddenly I had become a better observer of the world. And it made a big impression on me at the time to notice that by not talking, I saw things more clearly. And I set it aside in the moment. I sort of set it aside and said, that would be an interesting feature for a character to have. And there's something to explore there, especially if that character is extraordinarily observant. And I think that, in fact, that's what Edgar's communication with Almandine is about. Not so much that he's mute, but that he's extraordinarily observant because language is not getting in the way for him.
And in some ways, you're saying that for all of us, there are avenues of communication that we ignore.
Yes. It's clear to anyone who's been around a dog that dogs are highly communicative, but they don't have the capability to produce speech. And that's, from my point of view, in my experience as a dog owner, that's a bit of a paradox because you know you're dealing with an animal that is attending to the situation and attending to you and has ideas, and you have to find a way as their partner to explore those ideas, whether it's a good time to go out and play. It's a good time to stop playing. I'm hurting. Where am I hurting? I mean, that's a lot of when it's most troubling not to be able to talk to your dog when you know they're hurting and you don't know why, and you have to find out.
You speak from personal experience. When you were growing up, your family trained dogs in some ways similarly to the way that Edgar's family, the Sawtelles, trained dogs.
Well, my family had a dog kennel for about 5 years. From the time I was 5 years old until about the time I was 10, it was a breeding kennel, but we didn't train the dogs the way it's described in the book. We sold the dogs as pups, as everybody does. And in retrospect, I looked back on that time when I was writing this book and said, it's difficult to raise a pup. My own experience is that requires an enormous amount of work and concentration. And it's certainly true that I've looked at my experience doing it and said, I wish I could have done that better.
So where did you get all of this information? Because you go into detail in the story of Edgar Sawtelle about the way in which he interacts with the dogs. Where did you get that all from?
From two places, two books. Ultimately more than two, but the two that made the biggest impression on me were a book by Vicki Hearn called Adam's Task, and it was published, I believe, in 1984. And Vicki Hearn was a very interesting woman. She was a PhD philosopher, a poet, and an animal trainer. She wanted to reconcile that for her own purposes. And her idea was that in training a dog, you're creating a sort of private language between you and the dog in which ideas can be discussed. What is the meaning of weight? What is the meaning of fetch? And in fact, the chapter of Adam's Task that made the biggest impression on me is called How to Say Fetch. And it's a 20 or 25 page analysis of what that single command means and what it means to give a command and what the whole idea of obedience means. If it doesn't mean, as she thought, it doesn't mean robotically carrying out a command given. Her idea was that it was an exchange of ideas.
What does this mean for Edgar, this ability to work with dogs? Edgar doesn't communicate with a world of people as well as he communicates with the world of dogs in a lot of ways. And I suppose that's at the root of the story, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's two things going on with Edgar. First of all, he's an only child raised among a lot of dogs. And so he's got an intuitive grasp of body language and other ways in which dogs communicate with one another that many of us might not have if we come to it later in life. I think the story supposes that there's a point in our life when we are receptive to language early, in those first years when we're acquiring language so rapidly, it's almost not measurable. And during that point in his life, he's also absorbing some lessons about how dogs express themselves. And so there are certain things that come absolutely naturally to him that you and I might find very difficult.
There's a scene, in fact, maybe you'd read it for us. There's a scene relatively early in the book. We haven't talked about Edgar's uncle, who is in many ways the villain of the story. There's a scene when Edgar and Almandine come on the uncle about to shoot Forte. And Edgar is 14, 13 or something at that point, and needs to work with Almandine to make sure that this doesn't happen. I wonder if you could read a little bit of that.
At this point, Claude has the rifle in his hands, and he's lifted it to his shoulder, and Edgar wants to find a way to stop him. And Almandine, who he has locked into the house, has found a way out. And now it's Edgar and Almandine struggling with one another as Claude sets the sights on Forte. He didn't hear Almandine coming. Suddenly there was a huffing beside him, and she stood there, panting furiously, gaze riveted on the stray. Edgar swept an open hand in front of her face. Stay. She saw the command coming and tried to look away, but he got her attention and repeated it. She dropped into a sit. When he turned, Claude had settled the rifle against his shoulder. Edgar watched his finger tighten over the trigger, but there was no kick, no roar. Claude fumbled along the stock, searching for the safety. From the time they were pups, Sawtell dogs learned that stay meant remaining not just still, but quiet, that whining and barking were a kind of following. And Almandine was in a stay. Edgar turned to her and touched a hand to his temple. Watch me. Her great head swiveled to face him. Release. He meant to catch her before she moved, but her hindquarters came off the ground before he'd even completed the sign. All he could do was lunge and clamp his fingers around the hock of her back leg. She sprawled out in the path with a loud yelp. It was enough to make Claude glance away from the rifle sights. Then Almandine was up again, forging ahead, half-dragging Edgar along the path. He finally got in front of her and put his hand around her muzzle and forced her to look him in the eye. Speak, he signed. And then Almandine began to bay. This time Forte couldn't mistake the sounds behind him for wind. He turned and saw them and leapt away, all in a single motion. Claude swung the muzzle of the rifle to track the fleeing dog, but there was nothing left to sight on but swinging branches.
What's astonishing about the scene is how you've established the communication between Edgar and Almandine so clearly.
Yeah, one of the things that's interesting to me about Edgar as a character is that because he can't speak, in many ways he's forced either into complete inaction or action instead of words. And a lot of this book is an exploration of situations in which that is the situation for him, that he must either act or be completely silent, even more silent than he normally is.
You wonder, after reading that, whether that isn't the case for dogs all the time.
I think one of the real pleasures of living with a dog is learning to read the dog's way of seeing the world and seeing what they pay attention to, what catches their eye. Because for me, at least, it broadens my experience of the world. Just going through a walk through the neighborhood is an exercise in seeing the world twice, once the way I see it, once the way the dog sees it.
David Wroblewski is the author of The Story of Edgar Sawtell.